So I want to share with you what I said, Shabbos Parshas Nosoi. Shabbos Parshas, the Parshas Nosoi is the longest Parsha in the Torah. It has 176 Psukim. Now the longest Kapitel in Tehillim is Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes, and that has 176 Psukim. The longest Masechet in Shas is Masechet Bava Basra, and the Masechet finishes on Daf Kuf Ayin Vav, which is 176. So we have here the longest Parsha in the Torah, the longest Kapitel of Tehillim, and the longest Masechet in Shas, all concluding with the number 176, and this cannot be a coincidence. And we need to know what is the message of 176. Now it seems to me that this equal number of 176 in these three areas has a special. What this indicates is that it has a special meaning to the world in general, and that's represented by Torah Shebiksav, by the written Torah, having the longest parsha, 176, since the Torah was the blueprint for the world, as Chazal say, Histakel Bo'iraisa Bo'ra'alma Hashem, looked into the Torah and created the world. So the Torah is the blueprint of the world. So there's a message here for the entire world. And then the fact that Torah Shebaal Peh, that the oral Torah, which is unique to Klal Yisrael, has that same amount, that message of 176, that indicates that there's a unique message to Klal Yisrael. And the fact that the longest Kapitel in Tehillim has 176 psukim, I believe is telling us that there's a message for each and every individual, as Tehillim was David HaMelech's individual songs to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. So I believe that there is this equal number in these three, in the written Torah, in the oral Torah, and in Tehillim, is coming to tell us that there's a message here that applies to the world in general, and then to Klal Yisrael in general, and then to each and every individual. So we just need to know what this message is. There's a pasuk by Kabbalah Sotayra, which is which we just celebrated on Shavuos, the Shabbos, which is the Yontif immediately before Parshas Nosai. Parshas Nosai is the Shabbos that follows Shavuos. So, by Kabbalah Sotayra, the pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hine Onoichi Bo Elecha Ba'av Ha'onon, behold, I am coming to you with the thickness of the cloud. Ba'avur Yishma Ha'om B'dabri Yimoch, in order that the nation should hear as I speak to you, V'gam B'choy Yaminu Lo'olam, and they will also believe in you forever. So we need to understand what the Rabbeinu Shalom is telling Moshe here, and why was it necessary to come to him with the thickness of the cloud. Ba'av Ha'onon. In Parshas Kisisa, after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu besieges Hashem to forgive Bnei Yisrael. But then Moshe Rabbeinu goes on Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, he has a dialogue with Rabbeinu Shalom, asking Hashem for chen, for grace. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, "Va'ato amarato, you told me, yidaticha b'shem, v'gam matzosi chen ve'ino. You told me that I find favor in your eyes. Va'ato, imna matzosi chen ve'inecha. If I did find chen in your eyes, then hoydieni no azrachecha. Notify me your ways. Ve'idoacha l'man emtzo chen ve'inecha. I want to find favor in your eyes." And then, so there's a whole dialogue here about chen. And next pasuk, Hashem says to Moshe, "Okay." And then finally, Hashem says, "I will give grace to who I will give grace to, and I will have compassion upon whom I have compassion." So, but there's this whole dialogue about chen, following the chet ha'egel. You told me I found chen in your eyes, and now give me chen. What is this whole dialogue about chen, specifically after the chet ha'egel? It's known from the Sfarim HaKadoshim that the Torah was given specifically to the Yidden that came out of Mitzrayim. Yidden had to go through a refining period in Mitzrayim, so that through the servitude in Mitzrayim, they were purified, and then they were able to receive the Torah. The question is that, since that is the case, how was Shevet Levi able to receive the Torah? Shevet Levi was not were not involved in the servitude in Mitzrayim. They were not subject to the servitude in Mitzrayim, to all the servitude or the affliction. So how were Shevet Levi able to be part of Kabbalah's Torah if they did not have the refining that all of Klal Yisrael went through? In addition, what is even more difficult is Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Mekabel HaTorah. He was the one who was sort of the middleman during Kabbalah HaTorah. He himself grew up in the king's palace. He grew up in Pari's palace. He didn't have any of the suffering that Klal Yisrael had. So how was he zoicha to be the middleman and to be the Mekabel HaTorah, Moshe Kibbel Torah Mesinai? If Shibud Mitzrayim is a prerequisite to Kabbalah HaTorah, then how was Shevet Levi, and specifically Moshe Rabbeinu, how was he able to be part of it? And what's even more difficult is that our Kabbalah HaTorah didn't seem to stick, because immediately after Kabbalah HaTorah we worship the eagle. Whereas Shevet Levi, who never had the Shibud Mitzrayim and had Kabbalah HaTorah anyway, their Kabbalah HaTorah seemed that it was a true Kabbalah HaTorah, because when it came to the Chet HaEgel, they did not worship the eagle. Quite the contrary, they all came to, when Moshe said, "Mi Lashem Elai," whoever is to Hashem should come to me, it was an entire Shevet Levi gathered to him. So all this needs an explanation. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that really Kabbalah HaTorah was supposed to be on the sixth day of Sivan, but Moshe Rabbeinu added another day. Hosef Moshe Yom Echad Midat, and Moshe added another day on his own. My Dorish, right? So what did he darshan? The Gemara asks, what did he darshan? Why did he add another day? So the Gemara says that he darshan, Hashem said to Moshe, "V'kidash them. You should sanctify them today and tomorrow." So Moshe Rabbeinu darshan ma mocha leilo imoy, avayom leilo imoy. Just like tomorrow has its night with it, meaning tomorrow you still have a night and a day, which is tonight and tomorrow. So today also requires a night, and the night is already gone. So it must be that Hayyam means tomorrow. Hayyam means tomorrow, Mocha means the day after. Because you need Leila Yimo, you need a full day, including a night and then a day. So Tosfos asks, well, if Moshe Rabbeinu darshan the Pasuk, v'kidashtam Hayyam u'mochar, he darshan from the Pasuk, you need to add another day. So then why does the Gemara say that he added a day on his own? He didn't add it on his own. He dashed it from a pasuk. And that's the Ratzon Hashem. So why is it considered that he added a day on his own? There's a Gemara Masechet the Shabbos of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Reb Zeira Ashkech Reb Yehuda Davekoya Pitzchet Debei Chamua. Reb Zeira met Reb Yehuda. He was standing by the opening of his father-in-law's house. Chazei Dehava Bedicha Da'ate. So Reb Zeira saw that Reb Yehuda was in a good mood. And if he would ask him to explain anything in the world, he would have explained it to him. So he wanted to take advantage of the opportunity. So Reb Zeira said to Yehuda, "My tama is a mazgim bereisha v'hoder emri. Why is it that when you have a flock of sheep and goats, why is it that the goats walk in front and the sheep follow?" That was the question that Reb Zeira had. Out of all the questions he could have asked him, this was what was bothering him. Why is it when you have a flock of sheep and goats, why is it that the goats walk in front and the sheep walk in the back? Amalei, and the sort of Yehuda answered, "Kivriyosa shaloylam. It's just like the creation of the world. The bereisha chashoyche v'hoda nahoyre. That first came darkness and then came light." As it says, it says first was evening and then was morning. So the Mamash Apel of a Gemara, he asks him why the goats walk before the sheep, and he answers him, because first comes darkness and then comes light. So Rashi explains, because that regular goats are black and the regular sheep are white. That's why the black ones walk before the white ones, because darkness needs to come before light. So we need to understand what's going on here. Why was it so important when Reb Zeira has an opportunity to ask Reb Yehuda anything in the world that he wants to? This is what's bothering him. Why the goats walk in front of the sheep? And what is Reb Yehuda's answer? One second, I just need to plug in the phone. One second. And then the final question, before we get into how to explain all of this. On Pesach night, we have, by Yachatz, we break the middle matzah, which we know is the Levi matzah. So many reasons have been given for this, and I'd like to suggest another reason why we break the middle matzah, specifically the middle matzah. So I'd like to suggest that the question that Reb Zeira was asking of Yehuda, why the goats walk before the sheep, was really a very deep question. And the real question he asked is, why is it that in all matters of this world, that there is really no real goodness that is not preceded by affliction or times of darkness? And really, in order to really acquire anything good, a person really needs to toil and
And a person really needs to toil in order to acquire any goodness. And a person has to go through a time of difficulty and sometimes real hardship before he's able to acquire something good for himself. And Chazal say, Lo yagati matzosi al tamim, that if a person says, I did not toil, and yet I have found, don't believe him. Because it's necessary to toil in order to be able to achieve goodness. That was his question. Why is it always that the black precedes the white? Why is it that the darkness precedes the light? Why is it that hard times come before good times? And Rabbi Yehuda's answer was that that's the way that Rabbi Nishlam created the world. Meaning that what Rabbi Yehuda was telling Rabbi Zaira was that this world, the way that Rabbi Nishlam created the world is that nothing in the world is appreciated unless the person first experiences the opposite. People don't appreciate something unless the only way people appreciate something is through its absence. We don't appreciate light. We wouldn't appreciate light if not for darkness. We wouldn't appreciate wisdom if not for foolishness. And we wouldn't appreciate health if not for sickness. And we wouldn't appreciate wealth if not for poverty. We live in the world of opposites, the world of where we only appreciate things through their absence or through their opposites. And that's why the pasuk says "Vayi erev, vayi boker," because in order to appreciate boker, there needs to be an erev that precedes it. So to answer Reb Zeder's question, why is it that there's before any goodness, there's affliction and there's hardship. That's because the only reason why we understand the goodness is due to the hardships and the toil that precede it. If we would only have light, we would not appreciate it. If we would only have health, we wouldn't appreciate it. If we would only have wealth, we wouldn't appreciate it. It's only appreciated because the opposites exist. And that is really what Das is. Das is we don't know anything. Das is knowledge. Knowledge is knowing that the only way we know something is through its opposite. We only know light through darkness. And we only know goodness because there's evil. And so on and so forth with everything else in the world. The only way to really acquire an understanding, a true knowledge of something, is through its absence or through its opposite. And that's why Adam HaRishon decided to eat from the Eitz Hadas Toi V'ra. That's what Eitz Hadas Toi V'ra means. It's the knowledge of good and bad. You can't really know what is good or know what is bad. The only way to know it is because the opposite exists. And had he eaten only from the Eitz HaChaim, he never would have known what is good, because you never would have known what is bad. It's Eitz Hadas Toi V'ra. And the only way to know goodness was through transgressing the word of Hashem and experiencing what is bad. Eating from all the other trees in the garden wouldn't have accomplished that. Because, by definition, bad is something that is against Hashem's will. So the only way to have das of toiv was only through ra. That's the only way one can know and appreciate goodness. And that's what the Rebbeinu Shlomo told Moshe Rabbeinu by Kabbalah Satoira. Hinei onoichi ba'alecha ba'av ha'onon. I'm going to come to you with the thickness of the cloud. Meaning that before Kabbalah Satoira, which the Torah is the ultimate good. Chazal say, "Ein toiv ela Torah." Toiv is Torah. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo tells Moshe, before I give you the Torah, there, or before anyone can acquire Torah, it needs to be preceded by a thickness of a cloud. No one appreciates understanding a shtickle gemara or a pasuk unless there is the blur or the unclarity beforehand, and only then, when it becomes clear, does a person appreciate it. What a good drasha has to be preceded by questions. If the Magid Shir or the Darshan would just give you the give you the answer without preceding the answer with all the questions, no one would appreciate what he's trying to say, what he's trying to accomplish. All the questions need to create a confusion or an unclarity, so that when the answer is given and everything clears up, the emes is appreciated. So there needs to be that before Kabbalah Satoira, before any understanding of Torah, there needs to be an ava ona, there needs to be a thickness of a cloud. That's why Chazal tell us, a Torah niknes b'yesurim. Torah is acquired through affliction. There needs to be a gia, there needs to be a toil. Because Torah is toiv. And in order to be able to appreciate toiv, it has to be preceded by the opposite. Ayerev ayiboyker. Before boyker, there needs to be erev. And that's why av ha'onam, the word av, ayin beis, is Rosh HaTevis erev boyker. That's what the purpose of the av ha'onam is. To create the erev before the boyker. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shlomo tells Moshe, Baba Yishma ha'am b'dabri yamoch, this way they will believe in you forever, meaning that the leaders of the generations and every generation need to be the ones to comfort the nation as the nation goes through hardships, all different types of hardships, whether individual hardships or communal hardships. And the way the leaders have to comfort the nation is that they should know that there's a light at the head of the, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and that all these hardships are only there for the sake of appreciating the good that is going to follow. By the Rebbeinu Shlomo coming to Moshe with the thickness of the cloud before Kabbalah Satoira, that is the model that all the leaders of the generations can use to show Gidna in all generations before good times. There are difficult times. Ba'av ha'onam, there needs to be erev before the boiker. That's how the Rebbeinu Shlomo created this world. Because we would have no appreciation of the good without the cloud that precedes it. And once the Rebbeinu Shlomo revealed this concept to Moshe, Moshe hoisef Moshe yom echad midatoi. Moshe added another day due to this concept of das. The Rebbein Shalom had revealed to him that true das can only be accomplished through the opposite, or through the absence. So Moshe said, so that's why Moshe said, "Ma mocher leilo imoy, af hayom leilo imoy." The Moshe said that in order for Kabbalah Satoira to take place properly, there needs to be a laila that precedes the yom. You can't have Kabbalah Satoira without the proper preparation of a laila before the yom, of a night before the day, of a darkness before the light. That's a necessity before Kabbalah Satoira. Because in order to experience the true toiv of Torah, it needs to be preceded by the opposite or the absence. So ma mocher leilo imoy, af hayom leilo imoy. That's the das. That is how one acquires das. And that's why this is what Chazal are referring to. Chazal say, "B'mokam shebali tshuva im demein tzaddikim gemurim mechaydom lamoid." Chazal say that in the place where bali tshuva stand, the complete tzaddikim cannot stand. It's because bali tshuva know good; they know toiv, because they've experienced ra. They've experienced ra. They've experienced emptiness. They appreciate a Torah life. Tzaddikim Gemurim don't have that same appreciation because they didn't have the absence. They didn't have the opposite. And that's why Yisroi, when he came to the realization of Torah life, he said, "Ato yodati ki godel Hashem mikol elokim." Now I know that Hashem is greater than all other gods. He knew it because he experienced all the other gods. He had the erev before the boiker. He had the laila before the yom. So he was able to say, "Ato yodati, I know. I have das." Because he had the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'Ra. And perhaps this is the chen that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem for, right after the Chet HaEgel. When Moshe was beseeching Hashem to forgive Bnei Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu he was negotiating on behalf of Klal Yisrael that there actually is an advantage of their worshiping the Eagle. As Chazal say, they weren't worthy of worshiping the eagle. It was orchestrated from above, because it taught Klal Yisrael for all generations that they can do tshuva. And v'makim shabali tshuva imdim ein tzaddikim gemurim chadam lamed. You can't compare. About tshuva, when they experience the goodness of Torah, they know that this is good, because they've experienced the opposite. And so the Rebbeinu Shlom, they worship the eagle. Now they are going to, they've tasted the Eitz Hadas. Now they're going to know that Torah is true goodness, something they wouldn't have known otherwise. And that's called chen, because chen stands for Chashoicha Nahoira, darkness and then light. As Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Zeira, first comes chashaycha and then comes nahoira. First comes dark and then comes light. Because you can't experience the nahoira without the chashaycha. Chen is chashaycha nahoira. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was appealing to the Rabbeinu Shleilam, that the Chet HaEgel might have actually been a good thing. Because now they will understand the Nahira of Yiddishkeit. They'll understand the Nahira of Torah HaKadosh. They'll understand the Nahira of the Rabbeinu Shleilam, because they've now experienced the Chashaycha. And this itself is the reason why Bnei Yisrael had to go through Mitzrayim before Kabbalah Satorah. Because Chazal tell us, Ein lecha ben chayrim el misha oisik b'Torah. There's no free person. Only a person who learns Torah and lives a Torah life. Such a person is free. Someone who doesn't have a Torah life is subservient. Subservient to their taivas and subservient to all the different wants and desires of and passions of this world. Somebody who lives a total life is in control of themselves. But in order to appreciate Chayrus, they had to first experience Avdus. No one can appreciate Chayrus unless they first experience Avdus. So they had to experience Mitzrayim, and before Kabbalah Satoira, which Kabbalah Satoira is Chayrus, there had to be Avdus first. And I'd like to suggest that Shevet Levi experienced the Avdus. They experienced the Choshech, perhaps even more than Bnei Yisrael did. Rashi tells us on the Pasuk in Parshas Shmos, it says, Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetei Alecha, Vayar Besav Loitza. Moshe grew up and he went out to his brothers and he saw their suffering. It says Rashi, Nosan Einoi Viliboi Aleim Leitztar Betzorosam. Moshe Rabbeinu invested his eyes and his heart with his brothers to suffer their suffering. Moshe Rabbeinu watched other Yidden suffering and he suffered with them. I believe that the fact that Shevet Levi were able to receive the Torah, and not only receive the Torah, but preserve the Torah even more than we did, is testimony that the suffering that they suffered from watching their brothers suffer was more severe than the suffering of Klal Yisrael themselves. Watching other Yidden suffer is so painful. Then it's even worse than the suffering of the sufferers themselves. That's how Shevet Levi was able to be zeichet to Kabbalah Satoira. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to be the intermediary by Kabbalah Satoira, because they elected to suffer. Unlike Bnei Yisrael, who suffered against their will, Shevet Levi and Moshe Rabbeinu elected to suffer by being pained by their brother's pain. So they had the Choshech before the Oir. They had the Choshech before the Nahira. They had the Laila before the Yom. They had the Erev before the Boker. And that's why on Pesach night, when we talk about the suffering of Klal Yisrael and how broken we were, people might think that, okay, it was the rest of Klal Yisrael suffered, but maybe Shevet Levi didn't suffer. Maybe they weren't broken. So we take the middle matzah, which is called Levi, and we break it. And we show ourselves and we show our families that Shevet Levi was broken. Not because they had to, because they elected to. They elected to be pained by their brother's suffering. And that pain is perhaps a more severe pain than the pain of those who are suffering, who are actually suffering themselves. So this message is a message to the world in general. That's how the Rebbeinu Shlom created the world. People, Jews and non-Jews alike, need to know that the only way we appreciate anything is through its absence or through its opposite. It's a message uniquely for Bnei Yisrael. That because Klal Yisrael, we've gone through lots of suffering, and we continue to go through much suffering. Golus, and we need to know as Klal Yisrael that this is all for the sake of the great light that awaits us, that we wouldn't be able to appreciate without all of this darkness. Umal ha'aretz deyos Hashem, there's going to come a time that we're going to know Hashem only because we've gone through all these difficulties and all these hardships. And then there's a unique message for every individual that is going through suffering, their own individual suffering, to know that a great light awaits them, a light that they wouldn't have been able to appreciate without the darkness that they're going through. The number 176, I believe, represents these three messages. One is called the Av Ha'onan, the thickness of the cloud, which Av, Ayin Beis, represents Erev Boiker. Av is 72. And then there is the Chain, that Moshe Rabbeinu negotiated a atonement on our behalf. Because individuals go through difficulties, whether physical or spiritual difficulties, because first comes the Chashaycha and then the Nahir. Chain is 58. 72 and 58 is 130. And then there's Levi, which Levi, to testify to the fact that the Levi, despite the fact that they didn't need to suffer, elected to suffer, Levi is Rosh HaTevis, Laila V'yayim. It's written Laila V'yayim, it's night before day. They electively suffered with their brothers. And that's how they were zecha to a Kabbalah Satoira, and perhaps on a higher level than anyone else. And that's why we break the middle matzah, which is called Levi. The gematria of Levi is 46. And if you add Levi to Av and Chain, Av, Chain, Levi is 176. And the Rebbeinu Shlom shows us this message, both in Torah Shebiksav, which is a message to the entire world, in Torah Shebal Peh, which is a message to Klal Yisrael, and in Tehillim, which is a message to each and every individual, that this is how he created the world. First comes Erev, and then comes Boiker. First comes Chashaycha, and then comes Nahoira. First comes Laila, and then comes Yom. And that's how we achieve Das. That's how we know goodness. That's how we know light. And that's how we know anything in the world, only through its opposite. May we be zeiche to the time of light, where it will be light forever. The time that it will be boiker and yoim, and Nahire, the time of Amalah Haaretz Deyos Hashem, when the entire world will be filled with the godly light. V'vias Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mheira B'yameinu Amen.